Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. Happy New Year, everybody. This is the first episode of 2026, which means it is time for a coming soon edition of the show, where I sit down to talk about some of the biggest films coming out this year, along with some of my plans for what I am hoping to do this year here on the show. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. But I'm gonna be honest, folks, I have so much that I need to say in this episode that I am actually prepared to take on a challenge. For those of you who don't know, whenever I do not meet that 30 minutes or less stipulation, I have to take on a challenge to repay my debt and restore my honor. My hope is to one day be remembered as the podcast host with the most amount of honor. And I'm actually carrying in two challenges from 2025 into here in 2026. One of them is that I need to learn the kata that Hilary Swank did in The Next Karate Kid, which I started working on, and then things got busy, so I probably lost a lot of it. Also, I hurt my foot at work right before the break. I get time off at the end of December into January because of all the holidays, and I guess timing wise, it was a good time to get hurt because I was going to be able to rest. I almost took a picture of it to show you all because it was a nasty black and purple bruise, but it was on my foot and it's the internet, so that was a bad idea. Should at least be charging for that. So anyway, one of the challenges I have still left over from 2025 is to learn the kata that Hilary Swank does in The Next Karate Kid. And also, I have to do a cosplay inspired by one of the characters from K-Pop Demon Hunters. I have not announced what character it is, though Claire, who was on the episode, she does know who it is. I told her after the episode, and she is all for it, very excited, very proud of me for wanting to do this. Like, genuinely, as a spouse, like, genuinely very proud of me for doing this. I did confirm it is not Derpy Tiger, but I'm not announcing the character only because I want to make sure I can get all of the pieces together first. I don't want to get everybody's hopes up and then let them all down. So, I have so much that I have to say in this episode that I'm actually prepared. What a way to start 2026, right? Just going to start things off with a challenge. But it's because a lot has happened in the past month. There was a lot that happened in December that I at different points thought to myself, I just need to do an episode and talk about it. I need to do another coming soon right before the end of the year. And I was like, no, stop. Stop it, Brandon. Savor. Just save it all up. Get it all in one big episode. And if you have to take a challenge on, you have to take a challenge on. Full disclosure, I am technically recording this before the end of 2025. And so if there's something I don't talk about in this episode, it's probably because it happened after I recorded it. But let's get into it. And let's start off with the movie I've been talking about for a whole dang year now. Mortal Kombat 2. MK2 was supposed to come out in October of 2025, and it did not. Instead, it got pushed to late May 2026, and then actually it got bumped back a little bit to early May 2026. Basically, the date that they moved it to first in May would have put it right up against The Mandalorian and Grogu, and Warner Brothers for once made a smart decision and backed it up. By the way, the Barbieheimer of 2026 looks like it's going to be in December of this year, of 2026, when Avengers Doomsday and Dune Part 3 will be coming out the exact same weekend. Nerds will be drawing lines in the sand that weekend. I'm thinking we should call it Doomsday, right? Doomsday and Dune put together, Doomsday. So Doomsday is happening in December. But back to Mortal Kombat 2. So Mortal Kombat 2 is scheduled to come out in early May. Why all of the moving? Well, it was announced that Warner Brothers and Discovery are going to be splitting, with Warner Brothers focusing more on movies and HBO, and Discovery focusing more on television. You know, the things that they were known for doing in the first place. And that split is going to be taking place in April of 2026. The speculation is that in 2025, I'm trying to pause this because I need to go help my son. Ah, this is not going to help the fact that I'm going to go over 30 minutes. Okay, there we go. So, sorry. Hot Wheels Let's Race, just Netflix popped up and was like, hey, are you still watching? I was like, yes, Cooper is still watching. Go. Anyway, if I don't start it fast enough, he freaks out. Anyway, so they are going to split in April of 2026. And the movie side of Warner Brothers in 2025 was already having a very good year because of how popular Superman was. And the speculation is that Warner Brothers actually has a lot of stock put into Mortal Kombat 2 that they didn't want to just pile on to their success in 2025 and instead make it the first big movie post-split and to put it in a position to be a summer blockbuster and just really ride the summer months on Mortal Kombat 2. That was the speculation, which is a lot of pressure to put on Carl Urban. I don't know if that's a fair amount of pressure. He already has to be Johnny Cage, which is a pretty high calling to have to be Johnny Cage, though I will admit, though, I was very much, you know, not on board at first with the Carl Urban. Go back and listen to the older Coming Soon episodes. I wasn't too big of a fan of the Carl Urban pick in the first place, but I will say that initial batch of trailers is moving the needle for me. But still, it's a lot of pressure to put on the guy to, you know, you have to be in a summer blockbuster now, okay? So that was all the speculation. But things got a little bit tricky and then very interesting. So after the announcement that this split was going to be taking place, in a moment, seeing the fact that Warner Brothers and Discovery going through a breakup is a bit vulnerable at the moment, at the time, very new corporate conglomerate known as Paramount Skydance put in a bid to buy the whole effing show. And Warner Brothers and Discovery, for once, made the right decision and said no. I have more to say about Paramount Skydance in this episode, but we'll get to them later. But there was also a rumor right around the same time when Paramount Skydance put this bid in to buy Warner Brothers Discovery that somebody else was making a bid to purchase not the whole thing, but just the Warner Brothers side. And sure enough, in December, it was announced that Netflix bought Warner Brothers. I actually woke up that morning to a text from my wife because she knows I would care about such things. I did not get a good morning text, an I love you, or a pic of her. Instead, I got Netflix bought Warner Brothers. And you know what? It put me in just the right amount of a good mood as any of those other things would have. Because if somebody is going to buy them, I'm fine with Netflix. I'm definitely happy that it's not Paramount Skydance. I have more that I have to say about you and a little bit Paramount Skydance. But Netflix, the little engine that could, this quirky business model that killed the video stores, is now allegedly going to kill the movie-going experience because they bought, honestly, not even arguably, but honestly, one of the biggest, most iconic film companies in history. They did it. They bought Warner Brothers. Like, there's no, they won. Like, I don't know what else to say there. They won. Netflix won. They bought one of the biggest, for like an obscene amount of money too. Hold on, let me look this up. This time I'm going to actually pause it correctly. Those guys spent $82.7 billion to buy Warner Brothers. $82.7 billion. And I'm not saying that that's like too much money. It's an obscene amount of money. Where in the world did Netflix get that money? I mean, they've been increasing subscription rates and they, you know, probably made a ton of money and are starting to break in a ton of money off of branding for K-pop Demon Hunters. And well, they also like had a ton of brand deals going on to promote Stranger Things season 5. So I don't know if it was all of that. $82.7 billion is an obscene amount of money. Could we please pay off some student loan debt now? You people have the money somewhere, apparently. Anyway, so they did it. And in the statement released by Netflix, it was stated that, oh yeah, this episode is going to go way over 30 minutes. I haven't even gotten past the first movie yet. I haven't even gotten past the first talking point yet. It's already 10 minutes in. The statement from Netflix said that they are going to honor Warner Brothers' commitment to release films into theaters, though there would be a shorter turnaround for those movies than getting on to streaming. So some people are seeing this as the end of the movie-going experience. We'll see. We'll see. Netflix has been the trendsetter for streaming, for all of this stuff, so maybe that will be the case, and Disney Plus is going to start, you know, moving their movies quicker to streaming or whatever. We'll see. That could be, instead of a movie being in theaters for several months, it's in for just like 2 months. It could be movies get an opening weekend, and then they're on streaming the next day. Like, I don't know. But they are committed to still allow Warner Brothers films to be released in the theaters. They also made the statement that Netflix and HBO Max are going to continue to be two separate platforms, with an HBO content slowly moving over to Netflix, which is a big joke. That is a huge joke. HBO Max is going to go away. Like, if there, of these two things, what the movie going experience and the continued existence of HBO Max, look, HBO Max is gone. It's going to be gone. Hulu is going away at some point here in 2026, and it's all going to just be Disney Plus. HBO is, you're on the clock next. Like, you're, and I like HBO Max, and I think they have a pretty good, I like the app, like, platform. I like, although I wish it was a little bit easier to search by genre, I will say that. Because that's how I prefer to search things. But the, like, if it, I, it, it's gone. It's dead. It's gone. I mean, some people would say HBO Max is already dead, but, like, I think you're on the clock. It's going to, they're going to be two separate apps through 2026, but by 2028, we will just be using HBO, Netflix, Netflix Max, Maxflix. That sounds pornographic, not that one. But anyway, so that all then leads to the question of how does this affect Mortal Kombat 2? Because that's what we're actually here for in this episode. So how does this affect Mortal Kombat 2? I don't know. I'm not a business bro. I guess it all just comes down to how much say does Netflix have before the deal is signed, because the deal isn't, the merger isn't official, the buyout isn't official until the third quarter. So technically, it just really just depends on how much say Netflix could have before the deal is signed. If they have no say, then I think Mortal Kombat 2 is still going to come out in May. I don't see why it wouldn't. Warner Brothers is still just going to release it in May. Hope for the best. Hope Carl Urban can deliver. And if it does deliver, then best case scenario, we get another Mortal Kombat movie that in a quicker turnaround than 5 dang years to have to wait for it. Like, if it does really well, Netflix will see that and go, okay, let's put some more chips down on Mortal Kombat content, and I can finally get my Mortal Kombat versus the DC Universe animated film. You've had the two properties this whole time, Warner Brothers. Get with the picture. That's my favorite one. It's my favorite game. I know, weird take. That's my favorite Mortal Kombat game, so, like, just give it to me already. Anyway, so best case scenario, the movie does really well in May. Netflix sees that, and in start of the third quarter, starts finding ways to produce more Mortal Kombat content. Big win for the MK fans. If Netflix has some kind of say in what Warner Brothers and HBO gets to release and when, prior to the deal being signed, if the movie gets moved, it's not going to move that far, because the third quarter starts in July. It's July, August, September. So if the movie does get postponed to be the first big movie of the Netflix Warner Brothers era, then it's going to come out in what? Late July, early August? It won't come out in October. I can guarantee that, because that month has already been taken. So it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be one or the other. Like, it either is going to come out in May, and it's going to then influence how Netflix decides to move forward with that licensed property, or they're going to hold off and it will come out in late July, early August, and be the first big film of the Netflix Warner Brothers era. I have so much to talk about. I'm doomed. I'm already past the halfway part. Oh, well, speaking of October, let's talk about the next big movie of 2026, Street Fighter, that every time there's an update about this movie, it breaks the internet. So the cast listing was the first one, which came out back in July, I think, of 2025. Broke the internet because it was like, what is 50 Cent, Jason Momoa, and Cody Rhodes doing in this movie? I should take that back. The fact that Jason Momoa is in the movie actually wasn't surprising, but the 50 Cent, Roman Reigns, and Cody Rhodes part was pretty surprising, along with most of the rest of this cast. Then there was a sweet, sweet poster that came out. Kudos to whoever designed this poster. Unless it's AI generated, then you lose all your points, because it's the choose your fighter screen with, like, the map of the world. But instead of the characters themselves, it was just the actors. It was the faces of all the actors in the movie. Well done. And then, again, in December, conveniently, right around the same time that the Netflix buyout was announced of Warner Brothers, you know, kind of like how the announcement of the cast for Street Fighter came out right around the same time that the trailers and posters for MK2 first came out. In December of 2025, a short trailer came out, and oh my god, hey, shout out to Deadly Hands of Kung Fu podcast, friend of the show, for tagging me in the trailer. Holy cow, I am freaking here for it. Again, look, I'm seeing a little bit of backlash from some video game creators now for some of the casting, some of the designs, but, like, holy cow, this is going to be so fun. This is going to be great. And Cody Rhodes looks perfect. Well done. Love it. No notes when it comes to Cody Rhodes. Approved. Like, it is. Oh, it's going to be such a fun movie. And it's scheduled to come out in October. I don't think that date has changed at all. It's mid-October, I think. It looks great. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, seriously, once this episode is over, check it out. You can't watch it until the episode's over, though. That's the rule. It's going to be great. And actually, this year as a whole, 2026 as a whole, is going to be a big year for you, the video gamer, the video game loving, movie watching fan out there. Because we got MK2, we got Street Fighter. There's a rumor that Universal is also working on a film adaption of the Shinobi video game series. Netflix has also confirmed season 2 of Devil May Cry is coming out this year, which cards on the table. I was planning on watching season one for this year, so I will definitely be doing two episodes now on Devil May Cry at some point this year. But along with those films and show, there's all kinds of video game movies set to come out this year. Later this month, we're getting Return to Silent Hill. Super Mario Bros. Galaxy is coming out. I think that one is early summer. The newest attempt at a reboot of Resident Evil is scheduled for mid-September. And then for some reason, Angry Birds 3 is coming out in December. I don't know who's watching those movies still, but enjoy if you're the one person excited for that movie. Enjoy it, I guess. There's a lot of video game movies coming out this year, and I've seen some video game creators talk about how, due in large part to the success of the first Sonic the Hedgehog film, that we are in a video game movie era right now. Horror is still, I would say, like the big genre right now. There are horror movies coming out all the dang time now, and I'm here for it. I like horror movies too. Before I launched Kung Fu Pizza Party, there was a brief moment where I was considering doing a horror movie show, but there is also, like, for the first time, we are getting, like, very high quality video game movies versus just getting what we get. It's very reminiscent of 2008 with Iron Man. Like, we are, and honestly, we're past the superhero movie era. Like, I get it. Avengers Doomsday is coming out this year. Superman rocked the box office. Supergirl looks great. But, like, it wasn't that long ago that we were getting what? 3 or 4 MCU movies, 2 DC films. Sony would put out a Spider-Man project, and there would be like 1 or 2 indie comic movies. Like, that wasn't that long ago. That was a few years ago now. This year, we're getting 3, is what I saw. We're getting 3 superhero movies total. And we're getting all of these video game movies. It is time for the video game movies. And with all of that in mind, especially when it comes to the MK2, Street Fighter, things like that, I have decided that this year is going to be the year that Kung Fu Pizza Party goes to the arcade. So every month, I am planning on releasing at least once a month a video game related episode that still ties in with martial art media. Obviously, most of that is going to be movie reviews. There's a whole bunch of Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter films already, and other films, some of them super nostalgic, like Double Dragon, some of them complete trash, like Tekken. Like, I'm planning on really putting out the video game content this year. There's a few other things that I'm considering, kind of now that we're in the new year, going to start moving some pieces to maybe do some bigger things as well. Hoping to have some video game creators on the show throughout the year to weigh in on all of this. And it's going to be fun. I'm excited for it. Did this a little bit last year, you know, trying to get out all of reviews of all of the Karate Kid films. This year, trying to go more year-long, a little bit of a year-long series. Kung Fu Pizza Party goes to the arcade. I hope you're excited for it. And because I am. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. And I'm not a big gamer. I like video games. I play on occasion, but I'm really excited to kind of become familiar with this world. And I will say I am very excited for Street Fighter. I might be more excited for Street Fighter now than Mortal Kombat 2, if I'm being honest. Like, that movie's going to rule. And I wish I could end the episode here. I actually would come in on the 30 minutes or less mark. Wouldn't have to take on a challenge. But there's another movie that's coming out this year that we need to talk about. Rush Hour 4. I wish I could be excited about this movie, but I'm not. This is going to be a very serious turn. So buckle up, kiddos. Here we go. It's been almost 20 years since the last Rush Hour film, and we've seen this recipe before. that means it either could be just like a very fun, nostalgia-filled ride, or just hot garbage. Like, this is how these, like, way after the fact sequels typically go. It's either really good or just it's either really nostalgic fun or just hot garbage. So even though we got Jackie Chan, we got Chris Tucker back, like, that it has that going for it, but there is just so much surrounding this movie that if it was just the wow, this is really after the fact, like, I could live with it and I would be excited. But there's so much surrounding this movie that it's like, I'm so upset that this movie is taking place. So to kick off this lovely conversation, the film's going to be directed by Brett Ratner, who did the original trilogy. He did Red Dragon, X-Men The Last Stand. Pretty good director. Like, I mean, like I said, he did the original trilogy. So, again, on paper, that's a good thing. You got the two main actors back, and you got the original director back. However, Brett Ratner is a scumbag. In 2017, during the Me Too movement, he was accused by several individuals of sexual assault, the R word, and other horrible things. Again, several individuals came forward about this, including Olivia Munn and Elliot Page. And after the accusations were brought forward, he, of course, denied everything and announced that he was going to be parting ways. At the time, his production company had a deal with Warner Brothers, and he announced that even though he didn't do anything wrong, he was going to be stepping away from the film industry and leaving Warner Brothers. He made this announcement after Warner Brothers announced that they were cutting ties with him. It was like he was trying to portray it as he was taking his ball and going home, versus the reality of the situation where the kids kicked the ball out of the yard and told him to go home. So he has, again, that was like 2017, and he has essentially laid low ever since then. This is going to be his first big film since the Me Too movement. This will be his big triumphant return to directing. Kind of. So there's that. So this movie is being directed. This movie, 20 years after the fact, is going to be directed by a scumbag. But it gets worse because the movie is going to be released by Paramount Skydance. Yeah, we're back for more Paramount Skydance. I told you we were coming back to this. It's being released by Paramount Skydance. And right now, I don't know about you, but I'm not feeling 22 at the moment when it comes to Paramount Skydance. I don't like them. I should. Paramount. I should like Paramount. And, you know, Skydance actually does have some good movies, too. But basically, their business model right now is, what can we do to make Donald Trump happy? That's their business model right now. How can I, Larry Ellison, continue to make money and Trump happy? And I'm just not here for it. They bought, oh, that news corporation, that, like, it's not even news corporation, this right-wing news outlet to help continue to, that was like, they couldn't buy Warner Brothers, so they bought like a far-right news outlet and named their person like the head of news. You know, the prestigious CBS News is now going to be ran by some MAGA person. So that's great news. So this film is 20 years after the fact, directed by a scumbag, being released by a spineless corporation that just wants to make Donald Trump happy. But it gets worse because it has, I think I read, like $100 million budget. And it's being primarily funded through Saudi investors. So it's a movie that's 20 years after the fact, directed by a scumbag, released by a spineless corporation, and funded by blood money. But it gets worse, because you remember how I said this is kind of Brett Ratner's big return to directing? He actually has a movie coming out before this, what will be his big return to directing. Yeah, he actually has a documentary coming out. later this month, actually, on Melania Trump. And of course, that documentary is going to Prime, because if it wasn't going to be Paramount Skydance, it was going to be Prime, right? If it's not one rich billionaire trying to control the media, it's going to be another one. So yeah, so this movie is 20 years after the fact, being directed by a scumbag, being released by a spineless corporation, funded by blood money, and it's all happening. Truly, this is like a thing that's going around because Donald Trump is happy that Brett Ratt is making a movie about Melania. Yeah. Rush Hour 4 is happening because Donald Trump is happy. Cool. Quote John Oliver. Cool. Like, and I am officially, hold on, I'm going to watch the clock run down. Because by the time that I finish this sentence, we will officially be over the 30-minute mark. So, cool. Perfect timing, too. So, with all of that in mind, I cannot watch and review this movie. I will not be. I will not be watching and reviewing Rush Hour 4. Again, if it was just the 20 years after the fact part, fine. Like, it will be a fine. I wouldn't mind as much. I would probably be excited for it. But with just all of that, like, this movie is coming to, of all things, this movie is happening because Donald Trump, period. Like, I seriously, this is the thing. You're going to taint one of the, I mean, let's be honest. Rush Hour is one of Jackie Chan's best films. It's a whole episode and a half to sit down and try and figure out what is Jackie Chan's best movie of the 90s. The 90s belong to Jackie Chan. It was banger after banger, and the first Rush Hour movie was one of them. The Rush Hour franchise is much like the Toy Story franchise. The first two are perfect. The third one is fine. I can do without it. But it's fine. It's not offensive. It's whatever. The fourth one doesn't need to exist. And Toy Story doesn't need to make a fifth one either. So I just don't. I'm just having a really hard time with this. And admittedly, I like Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan is beloved. He's one of the reasons why so many people my age got into the martial arts in the first place, right? Or at least really like martial art movies, right? This isn't the first time that I'm kind of like sad about Jackie Chan. Because if you look at some of his political views on the relationship between China and Hong Kong, they're not great. They're not great. So trust me. I'm sorry to have to like ruin your year. We just started the new year and I'm ruining your year because you could be very easily disappointed in Jackie Chan right now. At the end of the day, he is a businessman. He is an actor. So if he's getting paid, that's good for him, right? He's happy, right? I just can't support this movie. I can't support a movie that's like, it is existing to stroke the ego of Donald Trump, right? And to give a scumbag a job who has not done a single thing to own his mistakes or to grow or anything, even a BS answer. And here's the thing. You could be listening to this at this point, and we had a fun time not that long ago either here on the show. Go back to the Street Fighter part, Brandon. You were so happy during that part. Look, you could be listening to this and be like, Brandon, it's not that deep. Like, come on. This is supposed to be a fun show where, you know, we watch people punch each other. And, you know, you have your little, like, spiels here and there about, you know, the deeper themes of a movie. But this is just supposed to be for fun. And, like, I get that. I get it a lot. But, like, I used to be very much like a why fight the corporate machine person. They have so many billions of dollars anyway. Why fight the corporate machine? And that guy is gone now, man. I don't have Paramount Plus. I ain't getting it. I wanted to get it because I've wanted to watch all these Star Trek shows. Honestly, heard Picard's really good. Heard Lower Decks is really good. I ain't gonna get it. And actually, even though you don't need a subscription, I'm not using Pluto anymore. I'm not using Pluto anymore. They're owned by CBS. They're making money off of ad revenue. You don't need my money. You don't need to make ad revenue off of me. You don't. I'm not using it anymore. I'm not using that. Not using it. And honestly, like, I know I've used Tubi a lot here on the show, and it is actually owned by the Fox Corporation. Big difference here. Pay attention for a second. Big difference here. Disney owns 21st Century Fox, which is movies, Searchlight, all that kind of stuff, TV shows. Fox Corporation owns Fox News, Fox Sports, stuff like that, and they own Tubi. And I like using Tubi because it's very convenient, and it's the easiest place to find some of these more niche movies, but I'm going to be drastically using Tubi a lot less. The nice thing is I can still use it for my son. Actually, he's watching Sonic Boom on Tubi right now, because when you switch to kids mode, there's no ads. It just keeps playing. So they're not making money off of me for ad revenue on this point. And it's like, yeah, maybe that like nickel that they're making off of ad revenue or whatever isn't that big of a deal, but at least I feel like I'm contributing. If I just need to feel like I'm doing something, I'm feeling it right now. You know, maybe it's not doing much, but at least I feel like I'm doing something rather than just talking into a microphone going blah, blah, blah. And speaking of talking into a microphone, blah, 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 here's the other reason why I'm not watching Rush Hour 4. I will not be reviewing it. I will not be paying for it. Here's the other reason why. Because if you've been listening to the show since the beginning, you know what I've been talking about here on this show. You know that time and time again here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, when it comes to that little blip part when I talk about some of the deeper themes in this movie, that more often than not, the deeper themes are the minority fighting against the overreaching oppressor. The themes of equality, representation, social justice. I love blaxploitation films. I've reviewed quite a few here on the show, and I'm going to be reviewing quite a few here this year, along with all the other video game things. If there is a video game blaxploitation film show thing, let me know. Do I watch Afro Samurai this year? I might have to watch Afro Samurai this year. I don't think it's a video game, but it feels like it. Anyway, I have consistently talked about these things and been an advocate for social justice, rising up against oppressors, equality, all these things. And now I'm going to sit here and watch this movie and review it? No, I can't. That would be hypocritical. A word that we love to throw around in my world of Christianity, that's a hypocrite. You're a heretic. Well, I'm not going to be a hypocrite here. I will not be watching this movie because it would make me a hypocrite. To watch this, to financially support this movie would make me hypocritical. Because I have talked consistently about fighting against oppressors, fighting against overarching authoritarian jackasses. This is such a backbone theme of so many of these films. Blaxploitation or not, even in these old school, Fist of Fury, even in these old school, When Taekwondo Strikes, in these old school kung fu movies, this comes up so much. I know media literacy is dead, and the alt-right want to start claiming Star Wars and Lord of the Rings for themselves. I dare you to figure out how to make Fist of Fury and Foxy Brown about you. I dare you. Seriously. How? How in the mother-loving world are you going to make those movies about you? How? I mean, I guess we did it with Godzilla somehow. But like, Megyn Kelly, I dare you, because you like saying stupid things, usually about teenagers. I dare you to make Foxy Brown about white women. I dare you, Tucker Carlson. Though he did say, I saw something the other day, I was like, oh, for once he said something good. I dare you, Tucker Carlson, to say something about how Fist of Fury is actually about the fall of Western society. Shut up! I had to check. Cooper like gasped after I said, sometimes I get fired up over here. Earlier, I think it was in this, I like did the approved and hit the table, and he was like, Dad, what's up? Are you okay over here? Yes, I'm okay, buddy. One time when he was little, I got frustrated while I was driving. I'll own it. And I yelled at a car, and he started crying. I was like, oh, no, not you, baby. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Daddy's just angry because some people are stupid. Speaking of stupid. So, yeah. I'm sorry to have to end this on a bummer note. I'll swing it back around to the fun stuff here in a moment. But yeah, I am not going to watch Rush Hour 4. I am not going to financially support this film. I will not be reviewing it. No. And if you don't like it, if you don't like that, if you think I'm overreacting, then just come back for all the fun episodes, all the video game stuff that's happening this year, or don't come back at all, honestly, because I talk positively about all of this stuff frequently because it keeps coming up in these movies. Not my fault that these movies were written to be pieces of art that depicted these themes. But if you don't like it, you don't have to participate in the show. You know, it's fine. It's fine. If you have been listening to my 10-minute 12-minute, wow, I've been going for a while now on this. If you've been listening to this 12-minute long rant, and you're like, actually, I'm kind of vibing with you here, Brandon, this episode and all the other posts I make about this episode and at potentially other points throughout this year, I will be using the hashtag #SayNoToRushHour4. I'm sure it's not going to trend. But if you just want to be part of this, I will be using that hashtag #SayNoToRushHour4 because sorry, Jackie. Sorry, Chris Tucker. You're funny. I love Jackie Chan so much, but I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Sticking to my guns here. Not doing it. All that other stuff, the Tubi, the Pluto, Paramount Plus, do what you want. I guess at the end of the day, do what you want, but like, it's just time. It's time for a change. For me. It is. It is. And you're going to hear that over on my sister's show as well, My Seminary Life. Not about Rush Hour 4. That has nothing to do with the show, but we're changing some things around here. So, I'm way over 30 minutes. Gosh dang it. I'm like literally like I'm watching my time right now. From when I said if I ended the episode right now, I'd be fine. That was 20 minutes ago. Stupid Rush Hour 4. Stupid Paramount. Stupid Trump. So, I have to take on a challenge now to repay my debt and restore my honor. And I will be watching a Steven Seagal film. I'm kidding. Wouldn't that be such a... Because he's a scumbag, too. wouldn't that be so ironically bad if I went off on this 20-minute rant about Rush Hour 4, and then I'm like, so I'm going to watch a different movie starring a scumbag. No, I'll save the Steven Seagal pain for another day. Instead, I will be delivering to you a double episode drop. So be on the lookout. There will come a Friday in the not too distant future. Hopefully, I'm trying to get a little bit better about getting these, about the turnaround time on these challenges. But in the not too distant future, pay attention. One Friday, you will be getting not one, but two episodes. I have a lot to do. I have a lot I want to do this year. So, you know. As long as I don't get too stressed, and keep putting out episodes. It'll be fine. I'll be okay. But thanks. If you've managed to hang in here with me for, wait for it, 45 minutes now. If you've been hanging with me now for 45 minutes, thanks. And I hope you're excited. Let's get, I will pivot back to the good stuff now. I hope you are as excited as I am for Kung Fu Pizza Party Goes to the Arcade. I want to go to some arcades. It's been a while since I've gone to an arcade. I want to go to an arcade. Maybe I'll fly out to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. They have a good arcade down there. I know that's a very specific shout, but my friend Pastor Will from Systematic Ecology and the Homily, he took me to an arcade there. Took a group of us, I should say, not just me, but he took a group of us to an arcade there a couple years ago. We were down there for a conference, and pretty sweet arcade. We have a couple small ones up here, but more like kid play places kind of thing, you know, like a Chuck E. Cheese, but independent. But hoping to get to some arcades, maybe get to some, like gaming conventions, you know, something like that, get some video game. But the main focus of this year is going to be to put out some video game related episodes. It's going to be fun. I think I have almost a movie a month picked out. Almost. But thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend and maybe tell them to only listen to the first 20 minutes of it. Now pass this episode along to a friend. You can follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza, PRTY, where you can get a review of the movie before the episode comes out. Check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219. I've kind of fallen behind a little bit on the YouTube channel, and that's one of the things I'm hoping to dig my teeth into here in the new year, is starting to put out some more consistent YouTube content. And check out the other great shows here on the Innazao Ministries Podcast Network. I've named off a few already: Systematic Ecology, The Homily, and my sister show, My Seminary Life. And that's it. Thank you all for listening to today's episode. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party. You did get an episode. Took more than 30 minutes, but you did get an episode. Definitely served up some wisdom one slice at a time. And a reminder, say no to Rush Hour 4.